Moncrief on News Talk.
Your smartwatch can apparently tell you how well you've slept or how many calories you've burned when exercising, but can it really? Calva Doherty is a lecturer in the School of Health in UCD. Good afternoon, Calva.
Good afternoon.
So how does a smartwatch estimate, say, for instance, how many calories you've burnt if you've gone for a 5 mile run, say?
Well, wearables don't actually measure calories directly. They rely on sensing technologies like accelerometers and photoplethysmography, the little light that's shining out the back of your smartwatch, for example. And from these sensing technologies, they estimate the number of calories you've burnt. But the problem is that those sensing technologies are not direct measures of energy expenditure. And as a result, the estimates that they produce when it comes to energy expenditure, when it comes to the number of calories that you burned, tend to be widely inaccurate.
Yeah. And wouldn't it vary anyway from person to person if you have, a 5 kilometer run, person A can burn X amount of calories and person B can burn X plus 20 amount of calories?
Absolutely. So your age, your weight, your height, your sex, loads of different variables will contribute to the amount of calories you're burning for a given exercise. And it's actually really difficult to measure in the real world. So in terms of lab-based studies, we use what's known as indirect calorimetry. Essentially, we measure the amount of inspired and expired gas, or not the amount, but the sort of the composition of the air you're inhaling and exhaling. So from that, we can derive actual energy expenditure. But the algorithms that wearable devices rely on tend to hold these things constant. They tend to make estimates for a given person based, as I say, on your age, your weight, your height, and the activity. But they largely rely on heart rate and movement data. And at the end of the day, those two things just really aren't enough to give an accurate measure of energy expenditure.
Is the heart rate and the movement data, is that accurate at least?
Well, that's the thing. So when it comes to the accuracy of wearable devices, if you think about the underlying technologies, let's say, okay, let's say you're trying to measure heart rate itself. So that's a physiological signature. And what wearables use to measure heart rate is, as I said, photoplethysmography, the light that shines out of the back of your smartwatch. So the degrees of separation between the physiological signature and the sensing technology is very low. When it comes to energy expenditure, what you have is the sort of physiological signature. You have the sensing technology that's measuring that signature. And on top of that, then you have a series of algorithms and essentially guesswork to try and estimate energy expenditure and also sleep. So wearables are particularly poor at measuring sleep and energy expenditure, but they're quite good at measuring heart rate and, let's say, your step count, because the sensing technology is much closer to the actual physiological signature that it's trying to measure. If that makes sense.
And why can't they measure sleep very well?
Well, if I was to go back to that sort of degrees of separation example, clinical studies use EEG, so brain waves. They use EOG, they look at your eye movement. They look at EMG, so they look at your muscle tone, and they look at heart rate and breathing and more. So those are direct physiological signals. That's the gold standard. That's polysomnography. What wearables use instead are, as I said, accelerometers, heart rate, and potentially heart rate variability from optical sensors, and maybe something like skin temperature or blood oxygen saturation in some models. So none of these directly measure brain activity or eye movement. So instead, wearables use machine learning models trained to infer sleep stages based on those indirect proxies. So To play that out, we have our sleep stage, for example, your actual brain state. Then we have our physiological signature, EEG, eye movement, muscle tone, all that sort of thing. Then we have our secondary markers. This is where consumer wearables come in. They would measure something like heart rate variability, movement, skin temperature. And then on top of that, you have your proprietary algorithm, which guesses your sleep stage based on those secondary markers. So by the time we get to your wristwatch saying, let's say, 1 hour and 43 minutes of rapid eye movement or REM sleep, we're about four layers removed from the real signal. That's why even a smart algorithm can't match the accuracy of a sleep lab.
Right. Okay. So what are wearables good for then?
Well, that's actually, up to this point, I would have said I've been potentially a little bit negative about wearables. And it's my area of research. So I do have positive things to say about them. So as I said before, things like heart rate, things like step count and overall physical activity, wearables can give you a good estimation of those things because they are much closer to the underlying physiological signature, let's say.
Right. Okay.
What I would say that wearables are good for doing is measuring trends over time. So you have to accept, don't take anything a wearable gives you as gospel. They give a decent estimation of heart rate and step count and all that sort of thing. They're excellent at measuring GPS, so speed and distance based on GPS. But what they can do is give you an idea of trends over time.
Yeah, whether you're generally improving or generally disimproving.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Calva, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Calva Doherty there, a lecturer in the School of Public Health, Physiotherapy and Sports Science at UCD.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.